Matthew 23:34 is a wonderful verse to teach the future 2,000 years that Jesus was talking about. Watch this. In Matthew 23:34, Jesus says, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you three types of people, prophets and wise men and scribes." Now, wait a second. I send. He hasn't done it yet. But this is Jesus saying, when I'm gone, I'm going to send prophets, wise men, and scribes. And some of them ye shall, in other words, you're going to in the future, kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. So Jesus' picture, and I can move this, Jesus' picture of the future of the prophecy and the people that he was sending, somebody made this statement. Boy, that doesn't work very well, does it? Someone made this statement, you know, you don't have to look up there for right now, but someone made this, "Pastor, Baptist was a cuss word. It was a rebuking name, the again Baptists. It was a slander name. How come the people that are up here, the Baptist people groups, you don't see any of them called Baptist? How do we know what they were?" Jesus said in Matthew 23:34, "The people I'm going to send that you're going to kill, crucify, and scourge, if they are prophets, wise men, or scribes, that is proof that I sent them." How do we tell a difference between Baptist people groups and irregular churches? Well, first of all, prophets. What's a prophet? A forth teller. Not a foreteller, because the Bible's completed, right? So a forth teller, someone who preaches or prophesies, therefore preaching. Nobody in the irregular church, nobody in the Reformation, Lutherans, or none of them are for preaching. They're for the formalism. They're for the structure. Baptists have always emphasized preaching. And as you look at the Baptist people groups, you can tell preaching was important to them. Preaching was important to their service. Now, they couldn't preach every time they met. If you met in a cave, or if you were meeting at night, that's why this idea of singing congregationally, it hasn't always been. Because you don't want to get found out. But they did gather. Sometimes they would gather with their, I've been to one of those caves where the light came through, and as they gather, their pastor would gather with, and of course it'd be scrolls and things, you know, that they would read, but there was enough light for the pastor to read, and the people would be there, and they would gather to do what? Hear their pastor read the Word of God, and they would gather to pray. Sometimes they could sing, but most of the time they didn't, because it'd echo, right? And if you're being hunted, you don't want to give those type of signs. You know, ooh, there they are, you know, and then they go over there. So this idea, did you know the idea of congregational singing? Jesus did it with his disciples, but did you know that Benjamin Keach in England in the 1600s said, you know, Jesus sang with his disciples, how come we can't sing in church? And the idea of, hey, let's sing a song together, it's been around for about 400 years, because that's kind of when the persecution started tapering off. First of all, Jesus said, the ones, first of all, that have a trail of blood, you're going to kill. They're going to kill them. He's talking to the Jews. You're going to kill them, crucify them, and you're going to scourge them, those that have been persecuted for preaching. He said, you can tell that I sent them. And that's going to be your Montanus and the Paulicians, and we'll get as we learn through those. What's the next group? Jesus said, wise men. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30, right? Wise men are always for getting people saved. They're always for communicating the gospel. Nobody in the irregular churches cared or not whether somebody got saved. They cared about controlling people. Are you doing what I told you to do? They were about control. But the Baptist people groups, the ones that Jesus sent, you can tell they were for preaching and they were wise men. They were for getting people saved. And these people here, as we learn, and we'll dive into their lives and see their beautiful testimony, but they were for preaching. They were for soul winning. And what's the last thing? Why? Prophets, wise men, and scribes. What did a scribe do? A scribe copied the Word of God, right? Right? Now, in the book of Acts, scribes are not good. Matter of fact, scribes in the book of Acts persecuted believers and imprisoned them. But what did a scribe do? Jesus said, the scribes I'm going to send that you're going to kill, they're going to be for doing what? Copying the Word of God. They're going to copy the Word of God. And we put an emphasis as Baptists on what? Preaching, soul winning, and the Word of God. And that's because that's our heritage. Jesus said, those that I'm going to send are going to be prophets, preachers, wise men, soul winners, and scribes. And their emphasis is going to be on the Word of God. For instance, when you take the Vaudois and the people of the valley, and we'll teach you about them, their emphasis, the Waldensians and how they copied the Scriptures and the Itala Biblia through the Dark Ages, and how it just, and they would give sections of the Bible, they would give books of the Bible to each family in the church. You understand, these were all handwritten copies. They'd say, you family, you memorize this book, and you memorize the book of Galatians, and you memorize the book of 1 Timothy, and you memorize, and then when they would get their Bibles taken, guess how they would say, okay, they've taken our Bibles, they've burned them, we're only half a church tonight, could this family please stand up and quote the book that they were given as assignment? Then they would pen it again. Could this family please stand up? And they would requote it from memory. You know, that's a beautiful thought. What would you do if your Bible was taken?
Well, I got it on my phone.
What would you do if the power went out and you didn't have a digital? If they took your Bible, how much would you have memorized? That's our heritage. That's our heritage. Okay, so prophets, wise men, and scribes. This is a 2000 overview, but Jesus said the ones who died, the ones who were persecuted for preaching, soul winning, and the Word of God, you can tell these will be the ones I sent. And then the irregular churches obviously would have the other traits. Now, there's one more thing I wanted to cover with you, and that is on page... let me look here. In your book, on page 9, now this I will want over here. Okay, so let me put this over here. And let's see if I can help you see this a little bit. Okay? On this, let me just make this a little larger. Okay? As large is better. Okay, there's four. It's very important that you understand the views of where Baptists come from. Okay, there are four ways of thinking about this. Two are right and two are wrong. And I put it in the book. If you did not get a book, you can get one. But the first one is this, and this is, I'm not going to read all this to you, but a continuation of biblical teaching and distinctives. In other words, what did they teach? To get put in this line of Baptist people groups, it depends on what you believe. It wasn't just, were you hiding in the mountains scared to death? Did you baptize babies? Did you believe that salvation came through baptism? Did you persecute other people? What did you stand for as far as a continuation of biblical teachings and distinctives? Now, I'm going to read just a little bit. Or the belief that the Baptist faith and practice have existed since the time of Christ. Historically, we are able to demonstrate a theological and doctrinal connection with the ancient Baptists and our rightful hero, John the Baptist. Now, in your book, I'm not going to take a long time with it, but under each one of these origins are a list of Baptist historians that teach what that point is. For instance, some names under this is going to be names like some of these historians are Thomas Crosby, Isaac Backus, A.H. Newman, David Benedict, Thomas Armitage. In your book, you have a list under these four points of who are good, authors and who are bad authors? Because I get asked that question a lot. Okay? So those that believe we can trace our, we go all the way back because of what's been taught, continuation of biblical teachings and distinctives. Another thought of origin is going to be succession of Baptist churches. Now, we believe, because Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We believe that through 2,000 years of history, there has always been a church that has stood for the Word of God and gotten people saved. However, listen, we do not believe that you can trace it all the way back. We do not believe in apostolic succession. The Catholic Church believes that. That's why when you go into the Vatican, what do you see? And if you haven't been there, it's okay. But the first thing you see is the line of popes. It's going to start within St. Peter's Basilica. And they believe this, linked to this, linked to this, all the way back to St. Peter. We don't believe that. We do believe this. The person that baptized me, my baptism came from someone who was scripturally baptized, That is a succession, but can I trace? Rodney Padot baptized me. He was an ordained Baptist preacher. Who baptized him? I don't know. I just know that he did it according to... We do believe in, we hold to that, succession of Baptist churches. Now, the Southern Baptists, the Baptist Convention, they believe you can trace all of their churches, line per line. This church started this church that started this church that started this church, and they all come from John the Baptist. Just real quick, and we'll move on. I don't think the Lord would let us do that. That'd build a lot of pride. Once you get into the 1500s, records start disappearing because they were burning people like crazy. Do you understand? I do not think the Lord would allow us. Gospelite Baptist Church was started by Tom Campbell, who was baptized and saved at, and I think it was Berean Baptist? What? Lighthouse? What?
Riverdale.
And Riverdale Baptist was started by Pastor Fitzpatrick. And then that church was started by Pastor Rob? Brother Bernie said Pastor Rob. And that church was there. That is what, and then somebody to be able to say, we can trace our church all the way back to John the Baptist, I think that's impossible. With the Baptist history that I have studied and looked at, I'll say it one more time, I don't think the Lord will allow us to do that. We just do know, because Jesus said the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, and the church, local New Testament church, always has been. We know that there's a succession, but I'm not interested in tracing it. But I learned something tonight. Fitzpatrick and Rob. I got to keep that in mind. Okay? I got to keep that in mind. Now, the first two I just showed you are good. Somewhere between what they teach and their succession of the churches is what we hold to. And under each one, James Graves, D.B. Ray, J.M. Carroll, G.H. Orchard, they're good Baptist writers. Now let me show you the two things that are not good. Okay? We'll go this. Let me see here. I'll pull this up for 3 and 4. Here we go. The two wrong thoughts of Baptists and where we come from. And this is what you'll find on the internet if you aren't careful. First of all, Baptists descended from the Anabaptists of Europe. This outlook teaches that Baptists have their roots in the Anabaptist movement in the 16th century, and that Baptists are another branch of Protestants. And the Reformation that happened in the 1500s, they believe that the Anabaptists come from that, and that before the 1500s, Baptists are nowhere to be found. And excuse me, but if you're reading your Bible and it says John the Baptist, how can you say Baptists don't go all the way back to the three J's? Jesus, John, and the Jordan. Right? It's in the Bible. So for the life of me, bad... Now this area is Mennonite. This area has a lot of Mennonite influence, which these writers, the Mennonites, hold to this. Mennonites are going to hold to Menno Simons. We'll get into that. That comes from the 1500s, and they believe Baptists became then because Menno Simons baptized himself and others. But because this area is Mennonite, there is a lot of Mennonite writers that I'm very careful about. For instance, those that hold to this would be, let me see here, A.C. Underwood. E-Step is a big one, okay? And I put up there the Say Baptists, and we'll get into all that. All I'm saying is this, when I see those in bookstores when I go around here. Those are bad Baptist history books. Do you understand? In other words, here's what they're teaching. Baptists only go back to the 1500s, and before that, there was no such thing as a Baptist. That ought to raise a big question mark in your head, and that's bad. Do you understand? The other one is this, the English descent theory, which believed Baptists came from English separatism. This view suggests the Baptists came simply from the 17th century, 1600s, separatist movement which advocated separation of the Church of England. This claim is the early Baptist church is traced to 1609 in Amsterdam with John Smith as pastor, and then believers' baptism in Amsterdam became the defining movement which led to the first Baptist church. That, you know, all know the story of the pilgrims? Okay, and the Mayflower and all that, that's John Smith and the congregation. They believe that Baptists became into existence then. And that view right there is predominant. Every person that graduates from a Southern Baptist university for the past 116 years is taught that. On the radio, I'll show you, but when they interview men with doctorates from Southern Baptist universities, that's exactly what they say. Well, Baptists are just Protestants and they can't be found before 1641. You mean nobody was baptizing by immersion before 1641? They have to overlook a lot of history to do that. There's four views of Baptist origin. The first two are right in your book. That's why we put them in red. In the last two, we don't hold to those. Somebody who says Baptists only go back to the 1500s simply does not know what they're talking about. They have ignored a lot of obvious history. Okay? So, that is that. Wanted to show you those two things out of your book. Now let's do the PowerPoint here. Okay? And I can start from the beginning. Ta-da. Come on now, Leroy. People are watching. You got to work. If you're going to lock up in the office. Okay? Here we go, our Baptist heritage, learning what it means to be a Baptist. Ready? We consider ourselves ancient Baptists by description, as we are not interested in the modern, liberal, socialistic, politically correct, denominational Baptist and his ideology or thinking. We want what the ancient Baptist had. We want to be what they were. We do not suggest that we are their equals on any level. We do, however, profess to believe what they believed, and we strive to demonstrate these teachings in our practices. Okay? We do hold to, I like somebody said, what type of Baptist are you? I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. That's what I am. You say, where's your lineage? I like linking to the ancient Baptists, to the ancient Baptists. The three J's. Can you remember that? Jesus, John, and the Jordan? Can you link that? Can you remember that? Here, do that with me. Ready? Here we go. Jesus, John, and the Jordan. Okay, hopefully you'll get up at 4 in the morning and think about that. Wow, Jesus, John, and the Jordan. That's awesome. Okay, ready? These people groups here. Okay. You're going to see Pudens and Claudia. Pudens was, what a name, Pudens. I don't think that it was totally pronounced that way, but he was a soldier in the Roman army. And all the Roman soldiers, about once every 2 years, had to go to Rome. But he was from Britain. And guess who he met? Guess who his assignment was when he was in Rome? The Apostle Paul. He had to watch the Apostle Paul. And guess what the Apostle Paul told him? He gave him the gospel and he got saved. And so Pudens, as a Roman soldier, while watching the Apostle Paul, takes the gospel while he's there, gets saved. And I don't know where he got baptized, but I'm sure the Apostle Paul pointed him to somebody that could do so. And he goes back to England from Rome. And Pudens and Claudia take the gospel seed up to Great Britain. Then you've got, I'm not going to go through all these, but the next set of people that's going to come online is going to be the Vaudois, the people of the valley in 120. As persecution breaks out in Rome and people are being burned and fed to the animals and horrible deaths are taking place, guess where the Christians went? They went up north. They went into the mountain area. And this is right, the Swiss Alps are like right here. So they would go to the mountains. The next group of people that we'll learn about are going to be the Montanists. And Montanus and his preaching would rise at about 170. And they would stand for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Salvation by grace through faith. The Word of God is where, you know, and as they're preaching, this is 170. This is in the second century. Then in North Africa, the Donatists would come along. Well, the Novatians hit Rome at 250, and they start a church, and they pull out because of liberalism, and we'll show you that. And then, for the first time in history, the Donatists come out in 311, and they're the first Christians that are persecuted by people who use the Christian name from Rome. Christians killing Christians, and that's all through North Africa. And they circle around, and the Paulicians come in after the Apostle Paul. They come in 660, and then they start moving through Europe till finally there were the Albigenses. We'll get into all of these groups here, but all these are Baptist people groups in their section of the country, standing for the Word of God, for preaching, and soul winning. Okay? Now, I showed this picture here. I showed this picture, Baptist throughout the ages, and I remember, I'll never forget, one Christian came up to me. They said, I've never heard of any of those people. Who are those people? How come I've never been taught about any of those? Those are heroes of our faith, okay? People who stood through the ages. Bible-believing Baptists have a dual heritage. We have a fundamental and a Baptist heritage. Okay, I'm watching the clock, so trust me. We have a fundamental and a Baptist heritage. Let's just keep on going here. Our fundamental heritage as a fundamentalist reaches back just over 100 years to the time of the citywide revivals under the famous evangelists. Billy Sunday, all of those men. When the encroachment of German rationalism and criticizing the Bible and the Bible isn't the Word of God, when that came from Germany in the late 1800s, fundamentalism was formed. A fundamentalist was somebody who believed the fundamentals. The term fundamentalist, when somebody says, I'm a fundamentalist, I'm a fundamental Christian, nobody used that term before 1850. Nobody used that. Okay? It's important that you understand, fundamentals or means the obvious truths of the Scriptures, okay? Things like the inherent, all this is in your book, so just, I'm going to go through this real quick, but the inerrant inspiration of the Bible, okay? The deity of Christ, the Trinity, the blood atonement, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of a literal hell, the reality of a literal heaven. Okay? Those things are the fundamentals. Now, can I just get you thinking with something just for a minute? Did you know most Catholics believe the fundamentals? Now, they don't believe salvation by grace through faith, but they do believe Jesus is coming again, and they do believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell, right? They do believe Jesus shed his blood. Now, they don't trust it. But a lot of religions, a lot of Christianity, even though they're not Baptists, believe in the fundamentals of the faith. Okay, which is good, by the way. These aren't bad things. But let me show you something more specific. Okay, you ready? What's the difference between a Baptist and a fundamentalist? A Baptist believes in the Baptist distinctives, which are these. The Bible is our sole authority. Autonomy of the local church. We're independent. We're not linked to a convention. The priesthood of the believer. When you got saved, you became a priest. You don't need a priest. You don't need a go-between. You've got just as much access to God, glory to God, as anybody does. When you got saved, you became a priest. The priesthood, watch this, the Catholic Church isn't going to teach that. Because if you're a priest, then you don't need a priest. And if you don't need a priest to confess your sins to, then we can't control you. Because the whole idea between confessing your sins to, about confessing your sins to a priest is this. Are you ready? If you tell me your deepest, darkest secrets, things you're only supposed to tell God, then you better not leave this church, or because I got the goods on you. And if you believe in the priesthood of the believer, that's what our Baptist forefathers were killed for, because the Pope couldn't control them. I don't need a priest. I'm my own priest. I have instant access to God. I don't need a priest. No, well, you need us to read the Bible for you. We'll get into that. Watch this. Two ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism's to be done only after you get saved, never before salvation. And the Lord's Supper is supposed to be taken only after you've trusted Jesus and been baptized. Only then can you take the Lord's Supper. Individual soul liberty. Saved, baptized, church membership. In other words, you know what the Catholics believe in? A hereditary church membership. Because mom and dad went there. If you're born in the church, you were baptized, so it's hereditary. We don't teach that. We believed in a saved, baptized church membership. And it's for these things here that they were killed. Two offices, pastor and deacon. That's all that is supposed to be in a church. And a pastor is a ruling office, but a deacon is never a ruling office. Never. Never. Where does the Catholic Church get the title? Nuns, abbots, cardinals. None of those terms are in the Bible. We believe because pastor and deacon are the only two offices mentioned in the Bible. If it's a church with anything other than one pastor and deacons, you got something dorked up going on. Okay? This is a Baptist distinctive. Okay? And finally, separation of church and state. And I'll show you what that is. Now, Baptists also believe inerrancy, virgin birth, and the substitutional atonement, bodily erection, authenticity of miracles of the second coming of Christ. Okay? They believe those. They're in a different color because watch this. Okay? To be a fundamentalist, all you have to believe is five things. The inerrancy of the Bible, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that He died for us, that He bodily resurrected, and that He's coming again. That's all you have to believe to be a fundamentalist. You say, are you sure? You don't have to believe any of the Baptist distinctives. But this is five things that make a fundamentalist. Watch closely. The fundamentalist, this one of the first doctrinal creeds defining fundamentalism came from the Niagara Bible Conference in 1878. Okay? The most famous listing of the fundamentals, which are commonly cited today, those five, are the so-called five fundamentals, listen closely, identified by the 1910 General Assembly of the Northern Presbyterian Church. Who said what a fundamentalist is? A Presbyterian did. Doesn't it bother you that a fundamental... Look, do you know how much is in the Bible about when you get saved, you get baptized by immersion? Because when you got saved, you were placed in Christ. You were put in the Lord Jesus, spiritually. So the physical baptism pictures what took place at salvation. Doesn't it bug you that you don't have to believe in baptism by immersion to be a fundamentalist? I know fundamental Methodists, and I do know fundamental Lutherans. But none of them baptized right. But I know one Methodist church. They had dress standards and everything. King James Bible, they ran buses. But they baptized with sprinkling. They were fundamentalist. It should bother you that the rapture, that's Baptist. See, you can talk about Jesus is coming. It may be tomorrow, it may be at noon. But when you start talking about all of a sudden us going up, poof, and leaving our flesh and blood behind and getting a new body, and then the world going through a 7-year tribulation, that's Baptist. Catholics don't believe that. They can't stand that. But they do believe in the second coming. That's why a lot of the book, all the songs, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll, that's a rapture song. That's a Brumley song. That's a Baptist song. But when you want to sing about the second coming, look in your hymn book. Those are written by Protestants. Because Baptists, that's what we're looking forward to, right? It's the rapture. Now, the name of this lesson here is called this. Are you a fundamentalist or are you a Baptist? Because you see, you can be a fundamentalist without being a Baptist. But unless you know the Baptist distinctives, and I'm going to teach them to you. We're going to have a Wednesday night lesson on each one of those. It's very important that you understand them. As a Baptist church, you need to understand soul liberty. You need to understand separation of church and state. How come we don't? What are we going to do if you miss church? What are we going to do if you stop tithing? We're not going to show up at your yard at 3 in the morning with a chainsaw. Heard you've been keeping back the tithe. We don't do that. But the Catholic Church believes that it's okay with the state's authority to come after you if you don't believe like they say. And the only reason they don't kill people right now is because it's illegal. But for over 2,000, for 1,000 years in the Middle Ages, they did kill people if you didn't believe like they believed. That's how come when you came to America, it was illegal to have a Catholic church. Guess where Catholic churches were legalized? Maryland. As a colony. Do you know why? Because even those fleeing Europe were fleeing the Pope. Okay? Now, this is in your book. And when somebody said, I'm a fundamentalist, I've always said this, I'm more. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. And if I say that, I'm everything a fundamentalist is. You understand? Okay? Now, I'm watching the time. We got good. Let's hang with me here just a minute. The Bible, you see, first of all, is our sole authority. The Bible is our only authority in all matters of faith and practice. You see, they believe a fundamentalist that it's inerrant, that there's no error in the Bible. But a Baptist distinctive is, not only is there no error in the Bible, but the Bible is supposed to be your boss. It's supposed to control you. Now, if you believe that, we'll kill you. And they did. That's what they died for. Because when you look at the Catholic trials, when they would try the martyrs, why did you do that? Well, because God tells me to. You can believe the Bible doesn't have any mistakes in it, but if you believe it's the only thing that's supposed to control you, that makes you a Baptist. And you know when you become a Baptist? When you make the Bible your boss. Amen? Amen? No human opinion or the decree of any church, group, or council may usurp the authority of the Bible. No creeds. No confessions of faith which attempt to articulate the theology of Scripture can carry the authority of Scripture itself. If the Word of God is your only authority, then it guides you. And I basically just said that. Psalm 119 says this, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It tells me what to do and where to go. Matthew 7 says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Most do what somebody tells them, but they don't do what the Bible says. And it's a narrow way. Ready? A Bible believer or a Biblicist. Okay? I love this statement. If we are authentically biblical, then we will be thoroughly Baptist. If you will just hold, it's the Bible that makes us Baptist. Do you understand? If we will be authentically biblical, then we will be thoroughly Baptist. What is a Bible believer? One who applies the Bible literally first and figuratively only when the context demands it. That's that problem, Brother Garland, with that garbage that you gave me from somebody else. He didn't write it, but he's saying, Pastor, read this. The person totally butchered Scripture by spiritualizing everything that you're supposed to read literally. We read the Bible literally unless God says spiritualize, and that keeps us doctrinally pure. God said what He meant, and He meant what He says. Look, My authority from the pulpit is never, thus meaneth the Lord. The Lord meant when He said this. Are you nuts? My authority is this, thus saith the Lord. God said this. He didn't just mean it. He said it. That is Bible authority. We read the Bible literally first and figuratively only when the context demands it. The Word of God is supposed to govern or control your opinions. It's supposed to control your behavior. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. The Word of God, thy Word, the Bible is truth. Whatever the Bible teaches is to be believed. Whatever the Bible commands is to be obeyed. Whatever the Bible commends is to be accepted. And whatever the Bible condemns is to be avoided. That's why we don't do social drinking. Because God says it's wrong. That's why we teach against fornication. Because it's wrong. Because God said it was wrong. Well, that's just your opinion. If I die tomorrow, the Bible is still true. If you got a King James Bible. If you got a King James Bible. One of the 14 men that did the NIV, he was an atheist, and there was also a lesbian on that committee. The bishop up in Rome said there's nothing in the NIV that speaks against homosexuality. I wonder why. Because one of the people that was helping interpret it or whatever was a queer. Okay? Here we go. Every Christian should ask this. What does the Bible say? If you can show it to me in the Word of God, then I'll change. That's what every Christian should say. Baptists reject extra-biblical authority. And we're going to end on this, but I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, come on, preacher. Everybody goes with the Bible. Everybody does not go with the Bible only. And that's why I did this. Because they're thinking, well, everybody, all churches go with the Bible. All churches do not go with the Bible. Watch this. Look at some of the denominations. Watch this. Those that have triple authority are the Roman Catholics. You say, who's their authority? First of all, the word of the Pope. The Pope can override the Bible. When he speaks ex cathedra, he can change the Bible from his little podium over there in the Vatican. What else is an authority to a Catholic? Historical traditions. Well, historically and traditionally, we've never did that. And then their version of the Scriptures comes into play, the Douay version. The Catholics have three authorities. Baptists don't. We have one. What does the Bible say? And we don't care what anybody else says. And you know what? You know what's wonderful in a Baptist church? Is when the people say, preacher, we need you preaching the Bible. We don't need you preaching your opinion. Amen. We need you preaching it straight to us. And if you ever preach anything that's not in the Bible, then we're going to fire you. In other words, the preacher's accountable, right? He's not there. He's there to preach the Word of God. Watch this. Those that have dual authorities. The Lutheran Church has the Book of Worship and the Bible. I'm sorry that's so dark. The Presbyterians have the Westminster Confession and the Bible. When I first got saved, a Presbyterian elder started teaching me some scripture and things, and praise God I had a Baptist there to help keep him straight because I was a young convert. But sure enough, guess what the first book he gave me? He said, here's that Westminster. He said, you need to read that. That'll help you understand your Bible. He didn't say read your Bible. He said, this book right here. So the Presbyterians hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Then the Church of England, Episcopalians, Anglicans, however you want to say it, they have the Book of Common Prayer and the Bible. Then the Methodists, I'm sorry that's hard to read, they have the Book of Discipline and the Bible. No, all churches do not hold to the Bible. Baptists, true Baptists, hold just to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And if the Bible doesn't say it, then I don't want it. I don't want it. The Bible is what makes us Baptists, and you can't be Baptist without the Bible. To show us that we don't know our heritage, name a great Baptist evangelist from 1755 to 1899. Because most can't, okay? But there are men like Jabez Swan. We'll learn about them. William Evander Penn, Alfred Taylor. These men saw literally hundreds of thousands of people saved. And you know what a Baptist evangelist did when he led people to Christ? He baptized them. Billy Sunday never baptized one person. Now, I like, okay, Billy Sunday, glory to God. I'm glad he preached. He saw over a million people saved, but he himself was never baptized. D.L. Moody, how many have heard of D.L. Moody? Dwight L. Moody, okay? Saw over a million people saved. Did you know D.L. Moody never was baptized scripturally? Did you know D.L. Moody, out of all of his million converts, never baptized one of them? That's the difference between Baptists and many times fundamentalists. Okay? Name a great Baptist Christian theologian, and we'll go through some of these. Baptism, those that wrote on baptism, Robert Robinson, Henry D'Anvers, Abel Morgan, those that wrote commentaries, Baptist commentaries, Alexander McLaren, B.H. Carroll out of Texas, Baptist writers, John Bunyan, John Milton, Benjamin Keach, Abraham Booth. I go all through all those. Name a great Baptist Christian theologian, and most people can't. Who is Obadiah Holmes, the man that was whipped in America? Till blood filled his shoes, and that is what started religious liberty here in Boston, 1651. The search for, that led up to, all the documents that finally led us to our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of America. Obadiah Holmes, we'll learn about him. He was persecuted here in America. What great Baptist pastor was used of God to birth 1,000 churches in one generation, 1755 to 1795, when our country was birthed? Shubal Stearns. In one generation, out of Sandy Creek Baptist Church, 1,000 churches were birthed. Incredible. Yet we don't know his name. These men here are baby baptizing, pedal baptizing evangelists. David Brainerd, Charles Finney, I've already mentioned D.L. Moody, Sam Jones, Gypsy Smith, J. Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday. They're pedal Baptists. They baptize babies. Baptist evangelists, not very many people know. Men like Isaac McCoy, Jeremiah Vardaman, Jabez Swan, Alfred Taylor, W.E. Penn, James Smith Coleman, and Cyclone Mac McClendon. All these are Baptist evangelists, okay? That when in the 1800s, the Baptists would say, we're not going to any of those fundamental revivals. We're Baptist. We baptize our converts. We're for the local church. They're not. Let's keep on going here. Pastors that every Baptist should immediately recognize are this. John Clark. Shubal Stearns, John Clark pastored the first Baptist church in America, held the first revival here in America, went soul winning for the first time through a church in America. Shubal Stearns, just mentioned, Daniel Marshall, Abraham Marshall, Valentine Whiteman, Isaac McCoy, John Weatherford, James Ireland, and John Waller. We'll tell you all about those as we get them. Okay? Our main characters in Baptist history. We're almost done, boys and girls, so hang on. There's only two characters. You say, oh, this is, look, this chart right here, when you get to the Reformation and you start understanding Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians, and Church of Christ and all that, that comes on the line. For this line here, for over 1,500 years, there's only two people. There's only two groups of people. Are you ready? There's the baptized believers, and there's the Roman Catholics. That's it. That's it. If you got baptized because you were baptized as a baby, but someone showed you how to get saved, if you got rebaptized, then you became the hunted. We'll kill you, your family, you won't be allowed to hold a job. Any of that. There's only two groups of people for 1,500 years. Baptized believers and Catholics. The Catholic Reformed are going to end up being, you know, that really needs to speed up, okay? Calvinists, Lutherans, Anglicans, Presbyterians all come from the Reformation in the 1500s. I remember teaching this when I was in Tennessee, and one person came up to me and said, me understanding that has taught me more where other churches come from, he said, than probably any other thing. They thought all the churches go all the way back. No, they don't. No, they don't. We're not Protestant. Let's keep on going here. One more. Catholics and Protestants believe in theonomy and theocracy. What's a theonomy? That's a God, theo, economy, money. God controls the handling of money. And what's a theocracy? What's a democracy? Control of the people, right? Democracy. What's a theocracy? Theocracy, where God controls it. Like in Israel, Okay? In Israel, they had a theocracy. The state and the church were one. Roman Catholics and all that believe in that. That's what they want. That's how powerful they want the church to be. There's more of a difference than just how we baptize and take the Lord's Supper. And that's what, until I learned Baptist history, I used to think this. Well, the main difference between us and a Methodist church is, you know, when we take the Lord's Supper, they'll use real wine and we use grape juice. And when we baptize, they sprinkle and we immerse. That's all. There are so many doctrinal differences between us and Methodists and between us and Lutherans and between us and any other Protestant church. There's huge doctrinal differences. We don't read the Bible the same. I think that has probably helped me understanding there are major differences. There are major differences. Covenant theology, I'll show you that. I already did a Bible study in here on that one time. And then there is replacement theology, and that is where the Catholic Church believes they're Israel. That's replacement theology, that Israel is replaced with the church. God did not replace Israel with the church. Israel is still God's chosen people. But replacement theology says, destroy the Jews because we're the new Israel. And that's how come the Catholics butchered Jews. Because of replacement theology. That's anti-Semitism. We don't hold to that. We don't hold to that. Okay? And there's some theologians here. Augustine goes back. Calvin to the 1500s. Rush Dooney is the, probably they call him the former of the Christian school movement in the early 1970s. And they're all three the same. They're all three corrupt. And four disturbing facts. How are we doing on time here? Oh, just a few more. There's four disturbing facts. Baptists don't know their own heritage. Malcolm X said, y'all know who Malcolm X is? Bad guy, right? Malcolm X said the black man can't do anything because the black man's never been taught about where he came from. I didn't say I agreed with Malcolm X, but that one statement, that's pretty true. If you don't know where you come from, the direction of your past determines the direction of your future. Do you understand? So if you don't have a past, if you don't have a history, then you can direct them anywhere they want. Okay, and that's what you're watching happen in the public schools. They're obliterating American history so that they can do what? Reconstruct it. Okay, here's number two. Baptists are starting to embrace someone else's theology, someone else's worldview, and I'll get into that. But it's absolutely amazing to me. I was talking to one Baptist preacher. I said, man, I love the doctrine of the soul liberty and the priesthood of the believer. And the pastor looked at me and said, what in the world are you talking about? He didn't know. I remember I walked away from that so disturbed. I was like, he's a Baptist preacher. He doesn't know what soul liberty is? He doesn't know what the priesthood of the believer is? That's a major doctrine of the Bible. That's a beautiful doctrine. The Baptist educational system is being reconstructed. Find out in the Christian schools. Who's producing the curriculum? Beck is out of Florida. Bob Jones, fundamentalist doctrine. And then also, you've got a few others. Baptists don't write Baptist curriculum. That's because we're too busy, amen, doing good things like going soul winning and running bus routes. So we borrow Protestant material to where our kids aren't even taught Baptist things anymore. Baptists have forfeited their place of spiritual leadership in America. Baptists have been severed from their roots. There was one picture I wanted to... Baptists are changing what they believe because they don't understand where they came from. And I already told you we're watching our history being obliterated so our future can be more easily changed. Okay? Here's a picture. John Piper is a very well-read Baptist pastor. He's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Has a plethora of books, but they're garbage. And he's a Baptist pastor. Watch what he says. The most obvious change is allowing the possibility that a person may become a member who has not been baptized by immersion as a believer. He changed his church constitution and then is teaching Baptist churches all across America. Don't require baptism. If somebody wants to join your church, just ask them if they're saved or not. And then, you know, they've been baptized in Christ, and that's all that should matter. They changed their church constitution. This is happening all over America. Don't require... They got to go in a room, and take their clothes off and put a robe on, and get in the water. That's such a hassle. I don't know why we do it either, other than Jesus told us to. Amen? When you get saved, you cannot become a member of the local New Testament church until you get baptized by immersion. You know, well, it's such a hassle. Wouldn't it be quicker? You want to join our church? Okay, come on down front, let's shake hands. And then that. No, you skipped over an ordinance. And that leads us, what? To the breakdown of a church into apostasy. He's got many books, okay? And he's all over the internet. Severing the Baptists from their roots. Our ancient ancestry, our revival heritage, and our American principles. Okay, you like that? That's to keep you entertained. Okay. First severance of our ancient history. I'm just going to go through a few more and then we're going to shut it down. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a well-known Baptist preacher in England, said, "So few are acquainted with our early history, it remains a matter of great surprise that our own congregation should be, for the most part, uninstructed in the past doings of our body." I know that's kind of wordy, but he said, it's amazing we don't know our own history. Folks, listen, we're the only ones with a bloody history. A Lutheran cannot say we were persecuted since inception. They can say we persecuted, we burned Baptists at the stake, we have persecuted. The Presbyterians can't say we've been butchered, banished, and beaten for over 1,500, 2,000 years. Baptists are the only ones with a bloody heritage. We're the only ones. We're the only ones. John Leland, he baptized the North. It's because of him, with a handshake with James Madison, that we have the Bill of Rights. There's John Leland. He said, "The Baptists can produce sacred proof for their appearance in Judea about 1,500 years before those tumults of the Reformation in Germany." What he was saying, if the Reformation happened here in the 1500s, Baptists have proof that they go back 1,500 years, all the way back to the beginning. That's what John Leland was saying. Okay? Until 1899, every Baptist historian believed that Baptists were ancient and that their principles could be traced to the time of Christ. Everyone knew of those people until 1899. Classic Baptist historians who believed in the ancient testimony of the Baptists, those are all good guys. Okay? And then I've already told you this. The Reformed and Roman Catholic historians believe that Baptists were ancient until 1899. Okay? Baptist originated with Jesus' earthly ministry. Baptist was the name God gave His people. Matthew 11:11, John the Baptist, and several other places. The pagan system of the Catholic Church originated with the Tower of Babel. Every false religion started with Nimrod and Semiramis in Genesis 10-11. We probably need to stop with this. Your Bible is, how much of it's prophetic? All of it. Genesis 10-11, when they said, "Let us build to heaven. Let's become our own religion. The world is going to unify again. But things are going to get worse before they get better." All false religions come from Genesis 10-11. The Catholic Church comes from... where does confessing your sins to a priest come from? Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. She said, if you can get people to tell them their horrible thoughts and their horrible things, then you can control them. Well, you better stay in this religion because we'll tell... I got the goods on you. That's been going on a long time, long before the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church just instituted... That's nowhere in the Bible. The only person you're supposed to confess your sins to is God, right? Not another person. They said in the 1800s there was records of ladies going to the confession booth and then the priest saying, "Well, go ahead, just talk about it." And then women passing out. Because they were talking about such horrible things. They were like, "Oh, I can't believe I'm talking about this." Where'd that come from? Comes from all the way back in Genesis 10-11. And so when Catholics say, "Oh, we go back further than the Baptists do," yeah, I'll agree with you. You go back to Genesis 10 and Genesis 11. That's your heritage. That's your heritage as a Catholic. Okay? Next week, I just told you this. Next week I'll show you on the apostles. And just so that you'll know, God says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstones. The apostles are important. And we'll look at how they died and where they went. Where did they go after Jesus went to heaven? Because our heritage starts with the apostles. And all of them were martyred, except John. He was the only one that died a natural death. All of the other ones died horrible, bloody deaths, but they were church planters. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray together. Father, please help us tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for a wonderful, wonderful heritage. Lord, but to know why we believe what we believe, I pray that, Father, please, you would use this in a special way in each person's life. And Lord, help us not just to be fundamentalists, but help us to be Baptist. Help us to hold to your word and make the Bible our boss.